All right, we're live. I think we're live.
Exciting.
Morning, Lars.
Good morning, Justin.
How was your weekend?
Oh, it's fantastic, actually. Thank you. Beautiful weather here in Bendigo, and had a nice family time, and it was good. Yeah.
Awesome. And, so you didn't have to work over the weekend?
No, I didn't this weekend, which was good.
Great. Very cool.
Yeah. Gotta wrap up the Easter holidays and getting ready for school and the routine again with the kids.
Yep,
all of that happening. So
very nice. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm excited for today's
for
show. I've got a million things I want to talk about. We got I want to talk about like gear and that kind of stuff and drones and gimbals and all the fun things. I also want to talk about with regards to real estate photography, like having a team, owning a business, that side of it, video and 3D and stuff like that, and where you see that going in the future, like where's this all kind of heading, how technical is it getting. First of all, if anyone jumps on in the live chat, ask questions, we'll try and answer them. Lars will answer them.
Absolutely.
Or just watch. And otherwise, if you're listening later on, then enjoy the discussion. But the first thing I want to talk about is, you haven't always been a real estate photographer. We actually shot a wedding together a number of years ago.
Yes, that's awesome.
A last minute wedding because Jim's daughter was actually being born that day. So you got the last minute phone call. I don't even know what time. What happened there? It was like mid morning or something.
I think it was in the morning, and you gave me a call like 9:30, 10 or something. It was like, oh yeah, can you just jump on today? Because I think, Jim's going to have a baby. And we're like, oh wow, exciting. Yeah, let's do it. So good. Yeah. It was always, been a great honor to shoot with Justin and Jim. So that was awesome. It was
a lifesaver to have you there. It was one of those things. I think it's, one of only two times when one of us could ever not make it or something like that. And then the other time was I was able to fill in for Jim because he was just shooting. So, you are a lifesaver. But
that's probably one of those things that on weddings, isn't it? It's like that one day, like that's it. You don't have a second go. Like
exactly. And you got to be there. You can't be sick. You can't. Can't decide on the day that you don't want to do it anymore.
No, that's right. can't call in with the sickie.
Exactly. So that's what I wanted to ask is, so how long ago, how did you end up sort of going from being a photographer to specifically a real estate photographer? When did that happen?
Yes, great question. So I might just go back on the story a little bit. So I'm originally German and scored myself an Aussie wife, Bendigo girl. So we married but we've been living overseas in Germany before, in Berlin for the last 8 years before we came here. And I was actually working as a commercial photographer there, but shot weddings for like now 15 years, nearly 20 years. So that sounds pretty old, doesn't it? So been really shooting them for a while, like all over Europe, which was super exciting. And then we decided, we had two kids in Germany, we decided to come to Australia and have a change in lifestyle and then come over here. That was now 5 years ago. And not too much commercial work happening here in Bendigo. So had to find something else. The opportunity came up to jump on board with someone who did real estate photography. It was quite well established in Bendigo. That was 5 years ago. So I was very lucky. He pretty much took me on. And then after about a year's time, I started to take over the business.
So you worked there prior to buying the business. You were working there for 12 months. And was there any talk before that maybe he would sell, or did you just come on board?
He's still in the business now, but he's 70 now, so he's sort of, great help in the back end, but he was looking to sell his business, just obviously, looking to semi-retire, and it was just a perfect fit. So jumped on the opportunity and it was great.
That's unreal.
Was really lucky. Great coincidence, like through a family friend. She sort of connected us, and then one thing came to another, and then COVID hit and everything just went gangbusters in there. So there was crazy busy.
That's it. I mean, the real estate industry, went crazy here in Australia, and I'm guessing maybe other places around the world as well. So you saw an uptick in business over COVID.
Yes, we did.
Was there a time through COVID where it wasn't an uptick? Like, did it take a while? And because we had lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. Like, did that impact the business negatively to start with?
It did. Well, first of all, when it all started, it was a great, like, unknowing, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, in the beginning, everyone predicted that it's going to be a massive crash, right? Yeah. So we were like, oh, what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, quite the opposite happened. And I was literally at shoots for $1 million houses. And the agent said to me, like, while I was there taking the photos and everything, oh, look, just finish what you're doing, but hold on with the processing because I think I just sold it, like, to someone in Melbourne who was in lockdown. So literally there was all happening. Okay. But for us, what the lockdowns meant for us, that we probably did more media per property. So, you know, more amount of photos just to give the potential buyer as much information as possible.
Without having to visit in person. So did that correct mean more video, that kind of stuff as well?
More photos, there was probably coming together with. So the Melbourne market is always a little bit ahead of us in terms of what they do online. But we feel like video had a massive uptick. The whole social media really is getting going now really strongly in Bendigo and through COVID more. With that, we had a lot of you know, very strong demand in 3D, like virtual tours, videos, like as much as we could, really showcasing, just really giving as much information as possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. But then now that has stuck around essentially and become the norm after COVID in terms of the amount of media per property, or
not necessarily. It's a little bit depending on the property and on the agency as well. So every agency is working on their own terms, I guess, and have their own marketing strategy. So whether they want to still incorporate all the media or just parts of it just varies from client to client.
Yeah, I definitely want to dig a little bit more into that and into the client relationships and things later on. But so when you bought the business, what did it look like? Was it just you and the gentleman that owned it at that time, or were there other people working there? Or what size was it when you sort of made the transition into being an owner of the business?
Yes, it was pretty much him, and then he was working with his son helping out because we're doing not only the photos, we do the floor plans and, you know, the drone photography and videography, videos and everything as well. Videos probably weren't that massive then when I started to take it over. It really just started kicking off in the last, 2 or 3 years. So since we've taken it over, now we're a team of four. Which is great.
Yeah, so, that's cool. So team of four. So yourself, who else is and are they full time or part time how does that work?
So they're part time, and pretty much it's pretty flexible for them. Pretty much, you know, have a look what jobs we're having on this week, or next week, and then we schedule it accordingly, and each of our guys can do everything, which is fantastic. One of them, you know, is the fabulous Cassie.
Yes.
Also well known in the wedding industry.
I was gonna say, previously. Yeah, wedding photographer, highly skilled.
Absolutely.
Is she still shooting weddings or anything, or now mainly working with you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, mainly working with me. Yes. Yeah. So that's awesome. And she's an absolute gun, which is fantastic. And it's just great. It's also different working in a team as opposed to yourself all the time. That's just really nice. And, you know, it's good. Comes obviously with challenges as well. You know, got to obviously have processes in place and, you know, make sure everything's, I guess, streamlined and, you know, working in the way it should and stuff. The guys are great and it's awesome.
Well, I guess that's the thing. I mean, if you've got, so all four of you can go and shoot a job. Is that right? So all four of you can go and complete a job. So it's not like someone's the person doing the editing or something like that, and another person's a photographer. You're all photographers, videographers, might have different skills and things, but I guess that's where the processes come into place, because the clients expect, no matter which one of the four of you show up, that they're going to get a similar result. So
Correct. Yes.
Does that mean, like, do you guys do training together, or how do you sort of make sure that everyone's on the same page when you show up to a job, yes, that you're going to get the same result?
Yes. So that's a very good question. So what we have in place is, yeah, we really restructure like how we shoot depending on the conditions. You can't just, you know, one size fits all. So it's really obviously depending on the houses as well. Some are just, you know, very dark, some have like small windows, are very backlit sort of mm-hmm. thing. So each, you know, different house comes with different challenges, I guess, mm-hmm. that we got to be aware of and conquer. And then, yeah, make sure we have a certain structure in a shooting style that we're following. Also, like, you know, that's depending on the client and the agency as well, the house and on the client. For example, like a, you know, $4 million house, we would shoot differently to, you know, or just because it probably has more to offer, like more different features, yeah, and different things than a normal, you know, a little two bedroom unit or something. But then
I was just going to just say, you mentioned the different agency. Like, do you find that each agency has a different style or requirement for their photos, or do you kind of dictate what you do and they kind of, it's like take it or leave it. This is how we present a house, or?
No, it's a bit of a mix. So we offer different things. And then, mm-hmm. you know, for example, like even, yeah, especially probably for the videos as well that we do, we would edit like a, you know, your heritage Victorian home differently to like a, you know, ultra modern, ultra spec'd up, you know, new modern family home sort of thing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Very cool. Okay. So the team's all on board and I love the fact that you can confidently send, you know, anyone from your team to a house and you know that they're going to kind of deliver a similar result. Yeah, I think that's something that most of us photographers, it's hard to imagine. I mean, even, you know, Jim and I working together for a long time, we know that we would do a similar job no matter what we do, but that took years of working together to kind of build that relationship. So yeah, obviously you must have your processes really dialed in and a good sort of culture around the team to know that that's all just going to work.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I guess compared to weddings where it's all about, you know, composition, like with the, like obviously we work on composition too, but composition mm-hmm. with a wedding couple, with people that can't be changed later on, whereas we always have the option to, and we do, like, you know, that let's say something's been missed in the photo or something, like something lying around, we can always just Photoshop it out or something like that, which we do, because even our clients and everyone, it just happens, you know, and so we're lucky that we can do that
later on, because it's a little bit easier with, and I guess the other safety net with real estate photography, I mean, it's not always possible, but there is the option of a reshoot is a thing. So it's kind of that safety net of, hey, yeah, we can come back and get a few extra photos if you need to or whatever.
And sometimes we even have, you know, we take a photo which we think looks great, and then the client was like, oh, we would really have love to see, you know, more of this or more of that, or, you know, focus a bit more on that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, no worries, we can come back and take more shots or different, or, you know, they want to change furniture around, we have that too sometimes, and so we just make it all happen, really.
Yeah, cool. Grant's in the chat. Hey team. Hi Grant. Morning.
Hi Grant.
He's got a question, which I'm sure we're going to dig into later in the talking about equipment. But do you bracket photos, or do you ever light the houses to balance out your exposure?
Yeah, it's depending on the property as well. I touched base on it before. Like, for example, in summer, you know, when we have that really bright sunlight and then we got really small windows, you know, a lot of flare can come up if you would just bracket, and then it just wouldn't look good. So we have, really we work with whatever the job requires. Mm-hmm. And then it's also like depending on your editing, what you do afterwards, you know, like many people, I know, and I've seen photos from people who just do bracketing and then just do the normal HDR and doesn't look very good. So it's really depending on the whole process. So I feel just have a general, I always do this and that. It's really depending on the job.
Yeah. For anyone that's listening that hasn't heard of bracketing before, because it's kind of becoming less and less common as digital camera sensors just get way better. You know, you can lift the shadows in Lightroom and software. Exactly. Bracketing is less common. It's something that we used to do back in the day. when Canon sensors were pretty terrible. But basically, you would take multiple exposures. You know, one dark, one middle, one light, or even more. Yes. Sometimes people would do 9 photos or something, and then in software you merge it to get the best of all of them, a balanced result. But like you say, sometimes it can look a bit weird because it doesn't turn out the way we see it.
It can look a little bit fake if the processing isn't done right as well. Yeah. So then, and again, also depending on the star that we shoot, I do some of the stars we do, we work off one exposure because that's just a different style that we do. If it works with the house, obviously, because Australian sun, I'm not sure where everyone's listening from, but Australian sun can be pretty harsh and pretty bright in summer. And then if we have a pretty dark house, like the contrast is too strong.
Too much. But so would you ever take strobes or lights
absolutely.
Onto a job? You do?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Interesting. How often do you think you would have to use strobes on a shoot?
Probably, I'd say less than 5% of the time.
Okay. So probably, pretty rare, but... Okay.
Like that's a have to, again, depending on the style as well. There's some shoots where you just can't get around it. You can always get around it, but as in to get the best quality, you just want to make sure you have the option to use it if you need to, you know?
I was just going to say, it's always interesting though, because of the video element too. It's like once that comes into it, you can't do that. So then it becomes a whole different thing.
So. And that's very interesting then, because sometimes when we do edit the photos and everything sort of nice and balanced from the exposures, and then sometimes then the video comes on top, and because it's so bright, like everything is just white, not much you can do.
It's just different.
But then also communicating that to the client, there's it can't look the same unless we make the studio production that would cost a lot more to produce. So
How long have you been making a living with a camera? Like going back through this and through wedding photography and then back to Germany. Like, when did you start working? And that was your main income?
Yeah, many years ago. let me think back. When year was it? To school, 2009, 2010 probably. So around 15 years.
Wow, amazing.
And I started to make it a main thing.
And that whole time you've worked with a camera, you haven't had to have another job here or there to support.
I did in the beginning so I started doing it while I was studying. There was actually event photography that was very different. Essentially like supporting my studies. And then I was pretty much started shooting weddings and everything, but then I had a regular job as well, which was like a camera assistant first. We would shoot for bigger commercial, with bigger commercial and fashion clients, learned a lot from them. And then, that led into me shooting myself. It's great.
I was interested in, what experiences you might've had over the years that have given you the skills to actually own a business that has a team. And successfully run a team, because that's, that's one thing to be good with a camera and then to also figure out how to make money with that camera just for yourself. But to then, operate a team successfully and run a business is sort of another level of skill. So is there any, what do you think has contributed to that over the years?
Probably two things. So first of all, I studied economics. So that probably helped, because what I've seen, especially in Berlin a bit from people we knew, were like, oh, many were just very, and there was this very arty photography, so not commercial in any sense, but everything was just about commercial, but then didn't really have a sense of the number game, that you just got to have a bit of an idea how the numbers work on every level, including like tax and all that sort of stuff is a big one. And that's obviously different in Germany as well to Australia, but and generally having an idea about that. And I guess like with the team, it's pretty much just trial and error, just growing over time, and it was very organically. So Casey's been with us now for 3 years, which is awesome. Actually talked about her joining us on the Christmas party that you guys hosted.
Yeah,
pretty epic. And then, yeah, it all went from there. And then, the other fellow who's with us is now 1.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Brett too. So it's been just grown really organically. Like I would say, it would be very difficult to just scale it up and say, you know, just bring 10 people on, and then that's obviously very, very difficult. But yeah, I think because we do it like slowly and steady, and you know, have a really good onboarding, a lot of training, go through and review of images and be like, hey, you know, we could do this and that and change it up a little bit later. And I think it's working pretty smoothly from that perspective.
Interesting. So that actually brings me kind of towards the business side of things with, so the business you own is a franchise. You own Open to View Bendigo, but there's multiple franchises around Australia. Is it just Australia or is it worldwide or?
It actually started in New Zealand.
Okay.
So so that's where it's coming from. Yeah. We got multiple franchises in Australia, and it's actually coming to all that, you know, looking to branch out into other countries as well.
Okay.
Around the world. So I actually like, so Open to View Bendigo is like the main business, but I'm actually the area manager for what you probably consider like central and north Victoria. Including like Ballarat, Castlemaine, Daylesford, Ballarat, and then in the north all the way up to Echuca. And we even do jobs like all the way northwest to like Swan Hill and that area as well.
And all of that's done by your team that are based in Bendigo, that's a big geographic area to cover.
It is. So, which is why, like, we're looking for people in all these other places, like on a permanent basis. So currently, we only go to the other places that are further out for bigger commercial jobs.
Yep.
So that's like, you know, like your hotels and, you know, caravan parks and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Like interesting. Okay, so that's something I didn't even realize. So hotels and caravan parks, is that if they're for sale or is that for just marketing purposes as well?
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason I thought it was purely only property for sale that you guys took photos of. So, okay, so if a caravan park wants just to showcase on their website and social media, you do that work as well?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yes. And I think that's probably part of the advantage of like being part of a big group and in the franchise is that, you know, we got a lot of like major contracts with big brands. You just probably wouldn't get a chance to shoot by yourself, really. That's a big one.
That's what I wanted to talk about. So the advantages of a franchise, a franchise is obviously something that there's an overarching company. You own your business, but there's a company that helps with marketing and systems and that kind of thing. I mean, if listeners are from Australia, they'd all know of Jim's Mowing, that kind of thing. Obviously, McDonald's, pretty awesome, except for their food. But they're amazing marketing, like you say, getting the foot in the doors with other large businesses, whether it's for contracts that are Australia-wide and things like that. But from your perspective, you know, you've worked for yourself. Now you own a business that's part of a franchise. What are some of the differences between those things?
Yes. So obviously, first of all, like I just mentioned, you know, many national deals would come together that you just wouldn't have a chance of going in by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, especially as an onboarding, when I started, there was like a lot of support on every level. And, you know, like what it essentially is part of the franchise is many passionate photographers and people with all sort of, you know, probably more particular expertise in specific areas. And we all share everything, which is fantastic, like within the group. So whenever we get stuck in a certain level, let's say, oh, I need my support in, let's say, video. Like, of course, I could YouTube it and learn it myself and everything. But then, we have people in the group and then they, you know, do a training. And
So there's
a lot of support, like, within the group as well, which is great.
These are from other franchise owners. Around the country. So you could have a video, you're trying to figure out something with video or whatever, and there's people that you can touch base with that are also doing it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's really huge. Good. I guess the community part of it. And like on every level, I would say, stuck in a certain situation with a client. What would you recommend with this, with that?
Yeah.
And just like a lot of marketing stuff is taken care of, like all the system and the back end, like all the, which especially many photographers don't want to think about, I guess, because you just want to take photos. Which makes it actually easier as being part of the franchise because everything else is taken care of. you can take care of the main part of the business, which is fantastic.
Okay, so they help with the delivery side of things. Is there options for you to do it or them to do it, or you have to use their system? Like how does that work?
It's not really a point not using it because the system is so good. Like for us,
Okay. Like so you not would only never
for
even... us,
but also for the client. Like it's much better. Everything's and you know, like for our clients, it's just a great experience. They have access to their photos all the time, rather than just you know Dropboxing a link in email and then expires and all of that hassle.
So there's so, some sort of like login that they've got that's got a just all their photos that have ever been delivered and that kind of thing.
Yes.
All through a nice branded website portal.
Yep.
Okay. That's amazing. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which obviously working with ongoing clients like real estate agents and things, that's a huge benefit.
Yes.
For them. Yeah. Yep. Just to have that all taken care of. They don't have to worry about managing and archiving the media that you deliver.
That's right. Yeah. Then, where's the hard drive and download it again? Like a lot of that sort of stuff. And the whole CRM system essentially is within that, and like you know different promotions that come out for all different things, you know, it's being taken care of, and a lot of business strategy as well, like coming from different angles as well. So it's pretty good.
When you get a client, say like a local real estate agent, is that usually from coming through kind of the national marketing channels the franchise is doing, or is that often from you doing your own local marketing and networking and things like that and building relationships with, you know, local real estate agents? How do you pick up most of the clients from that side of things?
Yeah, that's probably more on an individual level. So we do get like for bigger groups and everything, like we do get, you know, assistance and help if we want to and need to. But we were pretty lucky. Everything sort of, you know, came organically, and I'm sort of quite happy to reach out and to everyone and, you know, do that part of things. It's more, I guess, like big groups, like your, not individual agents, but like, big groups that we have also like, national deals happening or national conversations happening as well on different, On different levels, I guess, with the bigger groups, on an angle to come in and provide value and come up as a group with an offer across the board.
Interesting. Do they recommend pricing? Obviously, pricing is going to be so different in Melbourne versus Sydney versus Bendigo. Do they recommend pricing that you would charge a client, or do they stipulate pricing that you have to charge, like a Big Mac has to cost this much in every city?
No.
How does that work?
No, it's not like that. So it's pretty much up to the photographer. And to the,
it is
to the
your
like,
choice.
Like there's a guide. Yeah. So there's a guideline. But that, you know, it's pretty much like up to the area as well. Like, you know, an area where every property is worth $5 million, let's say, you know, that's probably different budget to where, you know, just a different local small little town, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
Which makes total sense. I thought that would be the case, but it's always interesting to find out how that stuff works and how much control they have over the offer and what's delivered and how much is left up to you as a business owner to help craft for your local market. Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. And that might also be like, I can only like, you know, speak for us, obviously there, you know, there's obviously different franchises who operate differently, you know, Jim Smalls different to McDonald's and, you know, different to us as well. And I guess, probably just touching base on that, why I decided as well to come on board with the franchises, because we offer, the one-stop shop. So that is that we offer signboards and brochures as well. Pretty much for what happens then for the client is literally just making one phone call and, you know, booking us for everything. And then within our system on the back end, they can just like, you know, drag and drop everything over into the templates for the brochures and signboards and just order it. And, you know, it's within 2 days, and it's pretty awesome.
Oh, wow. And that's all, facilitated through Open to View, so you're not like, as far as a signboard, you don't have to have the equipment to manufacture that yourself or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
so
are you printing that or?
Yes, so we do that in Bendigo. Oh, wow. The signboards, Like that's their own business here. So that's different to the photography franchise. That's another part of it. But the printing of all the brochures and stuff is all being done locally. Sorry, not locally, but centrally, like there in Queensland. And yeah, it's getting delivered within 2 days. So still being able to deliver a pretty good turnaround and
fast. Yeah.
So which is pretty good. Yeah.
Grant's just asked another question. He apparently he's looking for a job.
I'd like
to know what. How would you recommend someone begin working in? So say someone's listening to this this interview and they're like, "Wow, Lars just had a great weekend with his family. Now it's Monday morning and he's on a podcast. He's got a team working with him. Sounds like he's doing an amazing job. I want to get into real estate photography. How would you recommend people go about it?"
Yeah, it's a tricky one. So first of all, contact me because like I said, we're looking for people in the other cities. Like, you know, Ballarat is obviously a huge market opportunity, where we can come in like Echuca. There's a lot happening up there in the north, and even like towards Dalesford and Castlemaine. This is so much potential there, but again, it's not really viable for us, you know, to have like a lot of regular business there because it's just with the travel involved, just make it difficult. Mm-hmm. And I can't really speak on going on your own into real estate. I wouldn't even really know where to start, to be honest, because coming in from your own into real estate, it's pretty. Yeah, it's not that easy, I'd say, because you know, we have a pretty long-term relationship. It's a big team you're working with. Usually it's more than one agent. So I think, and this is again where we as a franchise group have a really good system to, if you would want to get started in your market, we have a really good opportunity to, you know, make that process happen and really get your started on your feet really well. And you just wouldn't have the chance to do it that way on your own.
So let's say I don't know how it works with open to view, but say in someone's city there isn't a business there now, an open to view business, and they wanted to get it started. Would you recommend first though they try go and work for someone else in another city or something just to see how it is before, you know, say it's a wedding photographer who wants to change things up completely and run a different business. And there's the opportunity to maybe start a franchise, not buy an existing one like you did, but start one from fresh. Is that a pretty steep learning curve for someone who's never worked in real estate photography before, but maybe has the photography skills?
Yes and no. Like that's always, you know, some people are like, you know, pretty set in their ways and some people are pretty easy to adapt. So it's really, I'd probably say no. And just because we have, you know, a lot of support and ongoing training. So just from the perspective of switching over and coming across, that makes it really easy. And then just to ensure we can still get the quality, like, you know, it obviously helps, you know, if you know how to operate a camera and stuff. But now I guess, also the exciting thing about it, which was one thing for me, for example, like did a lot of weddings and then, you know, it was always weekends and stuff. And now having a family and kids, two of my kids are now in school. So we're like, well, I would like to spend the weekends with the kids a bit more. Especially in summer when all the weddings tend to be. So that's definitely an advantage. You can really schedule your own time and, you know, I usually drop off the kids and try and pick them up as well and work around that in the hours. So it's definitely an advantage to be able to really, schedule your own time and, you know, and I guess the other great thing about it is that it's not just, you know, photography. We do the floor plans as well, and we do the videos, we fly the drones. There's a lot of variety within the job, and we see so many different properties and, you know, so many different people every day and to hear their stories. And the exciting thing about this is as well, like, again, hearing the stories from the people, why are they moving, where they're moving, what are they doing? Yeah. And it's just really interesting. And also, I guess we see ourselves as an extension of the brand from the real estate agency, because the people we're going to, usually their most or their highest asset, and they're obviously a little bit nervous how everything's presenting. So we want to make sure, you know, every property looks its absolute best when it's going on the market. But it's just a variety of it that we love and the flexibility.
Yeah, I've shot a handful of real estate shoots. We used to get these inquiries every now and then. I think from a website that it's kind of like for sale by owner, kind of thing. So the owner's going to be presenting it themselves, and they would just reach out to us every now and then. I'm not sure why, how we sort of got on their list or something. This was 3 or 4 years ago now. So I did a few, and it was exactly that. Obviously, because it was for sale by owner, it's probably more investment on their side of things. But you know, because they're trying to present it, they don't have a real estate agent to kind of take care of that for them. You're exactly right. They tell you the whole story about, you know, how long they've lived there and all that kind of stuff, and all the work they've done over the years, and why they love the house. So it is interesting. It was fun learning about different people and different areas and that kind of thing.
And also just the different properties themselves. Like we photographed one. It's probably one of my highlights. They just had a massive skate park in their backyard, where they literally hosted skate events.
Heard about that.
Just unreal in the backyard.
I heard about that. That was the talk of the town when that was getting getting listed. It's like it's a skater's paradise.
It was a pretty epic one. Amazing.
Let's do a little bit of gear stuff. But
I got
more questions to ask. But Grant wants to know: do you need a drone license?
Yes. So in general, I definitely say yes. So there are ways now, depending on CASAS, which is the air authorities' requirements, and you know, legislation. It seems to be changing all the time. It's a little bit slow. But so you can shoot under certain conditions without a license.
Yes.
Problem is, without a license, you don't get insurance. So and you want to have insurance. So there's a lot of, obviously cowboys out there who do without a drone. And, you know, obviously DJI, it's not a secret. They have the 249 grams drone where you can pretty much, you know, fly it a lot more freely. But nonetheless, it's always, you know, good to have a license and being able to be covered.
Do all of your team have drones when they go out and shoot, or is that something that you only you do, or only one of them does? Or
no, we all do. Yeah,
you all have drones. Actually, that's an interesting question about kits. Like, do you provide kits for people, the photography equipment? Do you provide them with it, or do they have their own, or does that depend on the person and their relationship to the business?
Who's that for?
Oh, sorry, your employees. So say anyone that works with you, are you providing them with camera equipment to take to each shoot? Is there like a communal kit they all use, or do each one bring their own stuff?
Yeah, because they're freelancers, they have their own stuff. But obviously there's like a minimum requirement of what we need, and, you know, technical things they need to have. So,
okay. So they're all freelancers. They buy their own equipment. They maintain their own equipment. But you sort of say, hey, you can't just shoot with a 50 mil prime. That won't
That's
work.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Would be good, but no. Yeah.
What, I don't know if you can, if you don't need to share exactly what your, you know, kit is, if you don't want to give away any secrets or whatever, but what would you recommend if someone was getting started in real estate photography? What would you say is kind of the best or the minimum range of equipment you'd like to have?
Well, for a start, you need obviously a wide angle lens. Obviously a start. I probably used to say you need a full frame sensor, but now even all the Micro Four Thirds and all the other options are getting pretty good. So depending on your shooting and what your conditions are, for example, you know, Queensland conditions and light is different than to Victoria as well.
Yeah.
So you would want to shoot, or have a little bit different equipment. And then you probably have like a prime lens, again, also depending on your camera and, you know, like what you're shooting. Definitely like a bit of a longer lens, like a 35, 50, 85. So I still got the whole range. And, you know, for example, if there would be someone just shooting farms all the time, someone like a bit more rural, you probably want to, you know, a couple more longer lenses, like a 70 to 200 to be able to shoot, you know, cows and
windmills
stuff
and
from
stuff
further away, and windmills and eagles and stuff like that. But
what's your kit specifically like? Because you can obviously you build up whatever you want and take a bit of pride in what you do. What are you shooting with today?
I'm shooting Nikon, still going strong on them. Still supporting them. I hope they keep going up.
Yeah.
Not going up, but keep evolving as much as the other one. Yeah, keep alive. Yeah. So I love it. Yeah. So I run with a Z series. They're pretty awesome. And then I'm run with a 1430, and then I got a 35, I got a 50, 85. Yep. That's pretty much the range we're using.
Are you shooting the Z6 or the Z7?
Six.
The six. And so in terms of megapixel count for real estate photography, something in that 25 is fine? Yeah.
Yeah, plenty. Yeah. Because we even... Yeah, it's plenty. Yeah, okay. Absolutely plenty. Because, most of the stuff goes online. And pretty much any camera that you can buy today delivers enough megapixel to do anything, really. Even because, I think you touched base on artificial intelligence software in a previous podcast, but even all of that with upscaling and, you can just blow it up 4 times without any issue if there's a need for it.
Yeah, if there was like a giant signboard or they wanted to use it on a billboard or something like that to advertise the real estate agency, it would be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, even for the signboards that we do, you don't need anything more than that, really, with 6 or 10 megapixels would be fine.
Yeah. Is 14 millimeters, is that a requirement? Like, would a 15 or a 16 do, or is having that really sort of wide?
Probably would do. I always say or at least for me, I actually have another Sigma lens, 10 to 20, which came really handy once we had a property and they had a massive hedge in front of the house, literally like 3 meters in front of the house. You couldn't see anything from the front except the hedge. So with the 12 millimeter, I was actually able to get in and still take a nice front shot of the house. 10 millimeter actually, not 12, 12. But this particular one doesn't have any distortion. So it's pretty amazing.
Oh, cool.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, all mirrorless and using gimbals. I saw, hang on, let me bring it up. I saw on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Bring it up onto the, I see a lot of gimbals. So using gimbals for the video.
Yes, absolutely.
Walkthroughs and things. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So we do a lot of videos now. Definitely there's no, in my opinion, there's no way around a gimbal yet. I think the stabilization is getting pretty good, but it's not quite there yet that you can do everything without a gimbal.
Yeah. If you're walking through rooms, it's pretty hard to stay steady. I've tried it. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
What gimbal would you recommend that I buy if I was going to get a gimbal if knowing that I need lightweight, if possible, and fast setup? So any recommendations you got?
Yeah, I haven't tried the latest one that can go horizontal as well. That's, again, a little bit depending on the camera setup as well. Some camera lens setups are still pretty heavy, and then depending what kind of equipment you would put on there as well. Some people put a mic on there and a screen and all of that, so that's pretty bit different. I generally can recommend, can't fail the Ronin stuff. I'm a big fan of DJI and whatever they're doing. I think it's pretty awesome. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit Apple, DJI, Rode, mics and stuff. It just all works all the time. Like, for me, they never fold. So I'm pretty happy just to run with it and don't really experiment. And it might be a little bit more pricey at times. But more than others. But in the end, if I don't have any hassle with it, that's totally worth it for me. Just to, that stands pretty clear that it's a Ronin, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So they are pretty. That is fantastic. Yeah, I'm sure there's other brands doing great gimbals and everything as well. For us, it's just about, I know whatever they bring out, it's just awesome. Same again, a little bit with Nikon and Apple and stuff. I know that when they release it, it's just good and no fuss around it. In my experience anyway, but that's obviously personal opinion.
Yeah. How long have you been shooting Nikon for?
Good question. I was a bit of a Canon shooter before, and then I shot a wedding with a mate of mine who had Nikon, and I was like, oh my God, why am I mucking around with Canon? It's crazy. So yeah, a lot of things seemed a lot more straightforward and a lot better. Just for in terms of usability, I think every camera produces same, or not same, but you know, produces, you know, great images now. Most cameras that you buy today, you can't really, you know, if you know how to use them, you know how to use software a little bit, you can just get great results. To be fair, but just I like just how it works, how the everything's set up in there, the custom functions, custom buttons. I can't put my finger on it. Probably 2014, 15, so eight years maybe, seven, eight years.
So yeah, through, I mean, they're pretty good years. Yeah, that was kind of when Canon was struggling for a little bit there, which is probably when you sort of switched, which is actually when I switched from Canon to Nikon, when I've subsequently switched back when I made the jump DSLR to mirrorless, went back. Which now, but yeah, in those, like when I was shooting with the 5D Mark III and waiting for the 5D Mark IV to come out, Nikon sensors, and there was nothing, it seemed like nothing was happening with Canon, and Nikon sensors were just getting better and better every time.
Yeah.
And then, they sort of went through that and had the D850 and stuff. And that was just the golden years of amazing DSLR cameras coming from Nikon. But since then, Canon's mirrorless stuff's obviously fantastic. And I think you're right. You could go Nikon, Canon, Sony. It's not going to matter. No one will know.
I think the most important thing is you just need to know how your tool operates, like how the focus works, and a lot of it is now like with the tracking and stuff. And if you just need to know your tool of trade, like how it works. Like it doesn't matter what you use, just make sure it works and produces the results that you want.
Yeah, it's funny. I want to start making like more YouTube videos and things like that. And one of the videos that I've got in the works that I want to make is like the number one free upgrade you can make to your camera, and it's read the manual.
Yeah,
just start to finish, just read the whole thing, and then you're exactly right. There's so many autofocus modes and stuff like that are built into cameras that you sort of slowly discover over years of shooting that you could have known about it the day you bought it.
Yes,
you know.
Don't blame the camera. It's a little bit I think Nikon brought out the Z9, which is incredible. And I started looking at it. Oh my God, it's such an overkill. But just the autofocus, it would take me a year just to figure out how the autofocus works.
To figure it out
properly.
Yeah.
And just doing sports.
I was going to say this.
Might be better for you.
Oh, I would get one if I was still shooting Nikon for sure. And Jim's been eyeing one off. But for real estate, it would be very hard to justify. When you're paying for it, to be like, do I need this?
It looks pretty good, but it probably gets a bit heavy at the end of the day as well.
Elena's got a question. She'd like to know the weirdest, strangest, funniest story from real estate photography. Like, has anyone ever insisted on posing in every room of their house for their photos?
That's a good question. Funny story. Probably two come to mind. One of them was like, the agent told me that the house is vacant, but the front door is open so I can jump in. And then, there was actually someone having a bath and was a little bit frightened when someone came in. There was a bit of a strange one, like all good, obviously kept the distance and stuff. So all good. But someone just said out, I'm in the bath. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm way outside. Worries. Yeah, and then another one is interesting one with pets. Someone's like, the dogs are friendly, and not a problem. And I just actually see if I can find it. So the dog was friendly, but I didn't go near it because it was just hilarious. The dog was pretty excited to see me or not. I'm not sure. See if I can find that photo. So the dogs were in the backyard. And then they were pretty, I don't know, whether they're surprised or didn't like me there or something. I can't find it now. So anyway, the dog just jumped up on the rear door And the photo looks actually like a frog because the dog is like in the position when I took the photo. It's like that against the door. It just looks hilarious. But I'm like, oh. Okay, I'm not going out there. So that's probably that was probably a funny one too. Yeah, I didn't have anyone who wanted to pose in their photos actually. Yeah, they would have been a funny one.
Do you get anyone sort of trying to style the photos with you, kind of like? You know, the kitchen looks really good from this angle, or,
yeah,
or make sure you get the fruit bowl in there or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you find it distracting, or do you find it kind of helpful sometimes? Cause you're like, oh, it actually does look good from that angle.
Yes and no, probably depending how it's been communicated, I would say.
Yeah.
If it comes, you know, from a place like, oh yeah, we know it all, but then you know what, sometimes it's also just about helping the client and, you know, deliver their vision as well. And yeah. To be like, yep, if that's what you want, then that's what we do. Like, that's fine too. But usually we're pretty good. And, you know, we'd say like, yep, no worries, happy to take the shot. And then we take the shot how we think it'll look right. And yeah. You can have a look at both and let you know what you think. And
yeah,
usually they go with our shots. But yeah.
Interesting. I wanted to ask you, I had it written down here somewhere. Now, obviously I want to be very respectful around income and that kind of thing. But I did want to ask you, do you think that real estate photography can be as profitable as wedding photography, more or less? Depends on the business. Because obviously wedding photography, let's exclude wedding photography studios that might have many, many photographers working for them or something like that. Cause that is that's kind of similar to the business you're running, but it's a very different thing in the sense that, you're sending these people out under your brand, on a very, risky job, you know, one chance, all that kind of stuff takes a lot of, I think that takes a lot of mental energy, but say there's a wedding photographer who works for themselves, you know, they're shooting 30 or 40 weddings a year. It's a great lifestyle, but it, like you say, it is tough. There's, you know, weekend work, all that kind of thing. Can real estate photography make a living like that for photographers?
Absolutely. So my honest take on that is you can, like, whatever business you're going into, you can make good income off it. You just got to put the work into it, you know? And like during COVID, I worked like, you know, 12, 14 hours, like on a regular basis. Like that was, you know, pretty intense. So, you know, until we had, you know, someone else coming on board. So, you know, I gotta admit that too. So it's not always that I'm just, you know, podcasting all day and just, you know, drinking coffee in my backyard. I didn't want to give that impression. It's, you know, a lot of grind as well, like in every business. So if you want to succeed in a business, you need to grind. Like there was an extreme phase. That was crazy, not sustainable, but also the market was not normal. Right. So there was, And I think then it's a little bit like you got to ride the waves as they come, and then figure out sort of what's in your normal, you know, like if you would shoot 80 weddings, that's also not sustainable. So you need to find a way to like, oh, was it just a crazy season? Do I need to adjust my pricing? What do I need to do? Do I need to say more no? Or do we need to, you know, have more after purchase sales, like, you know, like your albums or prints and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And then so for real estate photographers, it's like, well, do you just want to offer photos or do you want to offer more than that? Or do you want to just video as well? And then how do you differentiate yourself and how do you, you know, market yourself and segmentate yourself as well? So I think there's people who only do photography and they're in a different segment for like, you know, just premium houses and that's all they do. And, you know, they make a great income. And like I said, I think you can make a good you can definitely make it work, like wherever you're in, but you got to put the grind in and find the right way to market it to your clients.
Yeah exactly. I totally agree. It's one of those things that if you, there's obviously probably niches of photography that are harder to make a living from, depending on how specialist it is. But, you know, then you see someone, like obviously there's things like pet photography and stuff. There's people making amazing livings shooting pet photography, but they've put the work in and they've got great, great marketing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Grant just said, we sold our house a few years ago. The photographer was waiting for dusk, so sat down with us while we ate dinner. Did you give them dinner, Grant? Did you give them a beer or something?
Oh, it was a good dinner. Yeah, so we do that sometimes too, but usually, yeah, we don't go, yeah, and have dinner with them. So yeah, we do dust shoots, but yeah, to be fair, we have amazing clients, and on a regular basis get offered beverages and everything while we're waiting for dust sometimes, because yeah, but obviously, you know, very, yeah, we're discreet there, not sitting down with them and munching away, obviously. So, yeah.
So they weren't one of your photographers, by the sounds of it. Grant would have mentioned, surely, if they were an open-to-view photographer. But how come you didn't take your own photos, Grant? What's the matter? You've got a drone? You've got a full Nikon kit? Oh, well. I wanted to show you this. It's actually something that Grant found. Now I've never played a video, I don't think, on the podcast. I'm going to try and play a video. Hopefully the audio's right. We'll see. I'm still learning, so sorry anyone if I blow your earbuds out. Let's try this. I want to get your take on it. Now this guy's obviously from the US, so it's completely different, but I just want to get your take on this. Here we go. Oh, that's not, we've got no audio. How do I turn the audio on before it starts playing? Maybe I'll play one of his other ones first.
Four shoots in a...
Here we go. It's this one, I'm pretty sure. All right. Could you hear that when it came in?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Did you know that there are photo businesses that make tens of thousands of dollars per month?
And the even crazier part is some of those businesses making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month don't even have any employees. They actually do all the shooting themselves.
And that may sound crazy to a lot of photographers, but here's how they do it. They shoot real estate. And the reason that can be so good is because a lot of people think that there's no money in real estate photography. But those of us that shoot real estate know that this isn't at all true. And it's an awesome opportunity to have a consistent photo business. And when you have consistency, it's crazy how big the numbers can get, because every time you add a customer to your business, you don't lose another customer. You just keep building up. And before you know it, you have a big business. So if you're still looking for your niche, or you've been doing a type of photography that's just not really working for you, not allowing you to reach your goals, I highly encourage you to check out real estate photography. Take a look at my profile. You'll see the business I've built, but also the business I've helped other people build. And I think you'll learn a lot. Did you know?
What's your gut reaction to that?
That's spot on.
What about $40,000 a month shooting for yourself, though? That sounds sounds a little like too good to be true.
Sounds like a good offer. But again, I think there's every I have the feeling, I'm not sure, I might, without stepping any of my toes, like in the US where it's all like different houses, and it's like, I don't know, different celebrity houses and stuff. I think there might be different numbers involved as well. Yeah. And there might be. So I'm not sure then what else they're offering, and
what's possible. I don't know. Obviously he's right. You know, you can build up a portfolio of clients and things like that repeat business. The thing that I saw that, my gut reaction was like, what's he selling? And then it come at the end of it where he was like, check out the link in my profile. And I was like, there it is. He's selling.
He's selling
courses on real estate photography.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Like, of course it's a fishing line. And then you're saying, well, if you make $40,000 a month of that, why do you do an online course?
Which
is only $200 or something.
That's what I sort of thought. I'm like, $40,000 a month, you do the maths on that. That's, you know, one man business doing $500,000 a year. That sounds pretty nice. Maybe unrealistic, but anyway, I just thought I'd be interested to get your take on it.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing too, like with every small business is, you know, like when you got your own business, you're never just a photographer, you know, you do like the, you do the accounting, you do the marketing, you do your website, you do your social media. Like social media is now so, like, it's a part-time job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's, and I'm still, people all the time, like from my wedding page, I think I haven't posted anything in 3 years. People are always like, oh yeah, like do this and your link isn't working. I'm like, because I don't do it that much anymore. It's like, but even with the reset now, like it's so much to keep on top of. And then there's a new feature coming out, and then there's, you know, this and that, TikTok, not new platform, all of that.
Hard to keep up with all of it. So So you do, you would still shoot a wedding? Do you shoot any weddings at the moment?
I do, yeah. I just do like five a year. Like
five a year, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and they just kind of come through without you having to do much marketing, just from like old relationships and,
yes,
and yep, social media and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I actually really do enjoy it. And yeah, even other corporate shoots as well that we do, like I really do enjoy it because, you know, wedding, let's be honest, it's always a good day. You know, everyone's having fun, everyone's having a good time. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. So it's been pretty nice. I enjoy the process. But again, yeah, it's just more about the weekends
and family
time away than, yeah, when I do work, you know, pretty intensively on the real estate business every week.
Yeah. You guys, you're in an office at the moment. Is that at your house or do you have a location?
That's at my house.
Yep. That's at your house. My house. Is everyone kind of remote, working, all the freelancers that work with you, whatever they do is remote. They've got a home office or something like that.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. And you find that works well?
Yeah. So we check in on a regular basis and, you know, do even like, you know, come to my office and do like, you know, uploads and downloads and stuff all together just to have a look and, you know, refine the process if we need to. And,
oh, yeah.
But it works pretty well. 2023, everyone's got a home office pretty much. Yeah. So, you know, it's, it works well. And also like why that works well, it gives the other guys a lot of flexibility as well. So, let's say if they would live somewhere out of town, like they don't need to come all the way my way again just to, you know, do a certain thing and then, go back home. So save some time. So, you know, it's all part of the lifestyle, I guess, as well, the flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah. What's a regular day or week look like for you? What's your sort of work schedule? How do you like to set up your week and your days?
Yeah. So that's an interesting one. So pretty much I used to try and have Friday just as an office day, but now, we get so busy, so couldn't redo that anymore. So probably the first 1.5-2 hours of the day, we do just, you know, quality control and just checking all the images from the previous day. So usually we have, a one-day turnaround for the photos.
Okay.
Get them the next day.
Yeah, that's fast.
But later
that's
on the... Cool. Yeah, depending on the images and on the job, might be later when we need to do a bit more editing or edit things out or something like that, or... You know, do a lot of miniature furniture as well. And obviously videos are a little bit intense in the production, in the back end. So that's different. But just making sure all of that is smooth. Once the images look great, we send them off to the clients and just do all of that. And then obviously a few emails, and then I go out and start shooting as well. And probably at that time, the other guys are already out shooting.
How long does it take to edit a video, and do you edit it in house, or have you got, there's someone that you send it all the footage to? How does that work?
Yeah, so we got a strong support system within our franchise. So we have like editors who help us out with everything, because that's the other thing about consistency. Like, yes, I can edit videos myself, which I do as well on occasion, but just to have that consistency from everyone's who's shooting, we just got to make sure we have the process in place as well to have the editing consistent as well, so they can work with every input, if you will.
It sounds like a good lifestyle. It really sounds like you've got a great lifestyle business set up, but like you say, it's not, you know, it's not just a easy piece.
Yeah, so it's all roses, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, not all roses. It's a business. If any business that makes money is going to have challenges, because otherwise someone else would just come along and do it slightly easier and slightly better or whatever. And you know, so it has to be hard. Otherwise everyone would do it.
That's right.
It certainly sounds like you've been able to build it and set it up so that it works with your lifestyle and gives the clients what they want as well, which is very cool.
And obviously you got to evolve a bit as well. You can't just stand still and be like, oh yeah, nah, that, you know, how are we doing it now? It's good. Let's do that. Like that for the next 3 years. Like that also just doesn't work. You just gotta keep it up and come up with different things, like different ideas, different products that you can do, or add-ons, or you know, just different things.
Speaking of evolving, I bought your Insta360, your 360 camera. Yeah. You had your giant pole. You obviously decided to give that a try for real estate photography and videography and that kind of thing. Yeah, what were the thoughts? Is that something you had just you had seen and wanted to experiment yourself? Is that something that comes through from Open to View that are like, hey, 360 is a thing that we need to explore, or like, how did you decide to buy that camera?
So we do, first of all, we do have still three other 360 cameras in the business that we use for our virtual tours and everything. Mm-hmm. Also for video, like I was wanting to try it more for videos, for different effects and different things, but I found just it wasn't quite worth the effort that it is to, as you would have found now, like editing yeah. this, and your footage with it looks epic. You know, normally you would have like a whatever 75-90 degree or even more angle to work with to edit, but now we're gonna have like 360 to work with, and even just find the right angle to do everything. And it will come easier because there's a lot of AI involved now as well. Which just works with people, but not so much with real estate, because there's none, you know, you can't tell AI, oh, focus on the bedroom, focus on the bathroom.
Yeah.
Not yet anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this, which is why, no, that doesn't come from the franchise. So I'm pretty keen to, again, like always try new ideas, try new different things.
Yeah.
And I had a good go with it, but I just found, different way to get very technical here, just like the lenses only were too small for what I wanted to do with it. Mm-hmm. Like the physical lenses, just I had an idea to go, you know, a lot through water with it and do all that sort of fun stuff, but it just didn't quite work as well as I thought. And then therefore the effort that went into the editing with it was just so intense. And I'm like, oh, it's just not worth it. And then communicate the value to the client that would, you know, justify the time for me to do all of that. It's just not, wasn't there. So I'm like, oh no, I'll wait till it's a little bit different, or I can use it in a different way. And there was more coming from, because it's pretty hard to fly drones inside a home. I know some people do it, but Australian legislation doesn't really allow it for it. So it's a bit of a tricky one, and it's probably an idea to get around that a little bit, but didn't really work.
The cameras definitely, they require a lot of light from like my experimenting with it, even outdoor shooting for mountain biking. Even just in like heavy tree cover, it's a little bit of a struggle. If it's bright open sunlight, it looks fantastic. Once you sort of get to the point where maybe you'd be shooting at, say, ISO 800, even 400 on a normal camera, that's when it starts to fall apart, which in a house is probably everywhere, you know, like,
a lot.
So, Jim says, hi, Lars.
Hey, Jim. Hiya.
Okay. So what about, so obviously you do virtual tours and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Is VR going to be a thing in real estate? Are they talking about that? Is that a buzz in the industry? Like people are going to put goggles on and be able to like explore a home or something like that? Is that possible?
I reckon it will be. The discussion is certainly there. Also a lot depend even with the 3D tools, depending on the client as well, and on the agent, whether they want to show every angle of it or not.
That's
like COVID were different times when you couldn't come in, but I think it's actually nice for them to come in to have a conversation and being introduced and get the contact and stuff. But I think we get there one day. Like it's not. As soon as goggles and VR will be a norm in general daily business and commerce, I think it'll be coming to real estate as well.
Yeah. So maybe far more likely to see it with like display homes or something like that before we see it in general real estate, because obviously then they can they can invest the money to do one display home and then it can be used all over that builder's network or whatever. And that makes total sense. I was thinking about that the other day because Canon have a VR lens, which is insanely expensive, but I've sort of looked at that and I've been trying to think of what the applications will be for that. There's a few, but I haven't seen a lot done with it yet that will trickle down to kind of the local level that we're on for everyday shooting, you know?
Yeah. I think there's definitely a place for it, you know, at some stage, but we're still not quite there yet.
Is there anything you do have your eye on as far as new gear or new technology or that kind of thing? Anything you've been excited about?
I get excited about a lot of things, but if I want to buy, you know, when you see, DJI, you know, new.
The Inspire 3?
Inspire 3, like obviously game changer, but And for the, you know, we do corporate and commercial jobs here as well. Even for that, it might be a little bit of an overkill, so can't probably really justify it. yeah, for that, there's a whole on a whole lot of new regulations with license and all that sort of stuff as well that you need to have and comply with, and you know, which is fine if that's what you want to do, but you got to have the right application for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I've got a, and Grant's talking about as well, we're going to go get our drone licenses soon. But yeah, that would be in another category again, for sure, as far as I know. But yeah, we just want to be able to get ours. So I do a little bit of stuff with the Mavic 3. Most of it's far away from, it's a beautiful drone. So good.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of it's far away from kind of housing and stuff like that. So it's not too much of a concern. I've got the basic license, you know, the basic accreditation thing that you get. But yeah, I need to go and do the proper course. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, it's all pretty interesting, this real estate thing.
It really is. Like I said, most important, like all the variety of the job, and every day is different. When we do different farms and stuff, and different commercial projects, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you find it still stretches your creative muscles enough. Because these jobs, it's not just, you know, people probably think, oh, yeah, so you just put it on a tripod and do the bedroom and do the kitchen and you know, like kind of a formula or whatever, but you find that there's still plenty of creativity available?
Yeah, certainly. Like, especially like for your homes that are a bit more, you know, custom design and, you know, that also work from the interior, have a little bit more to offer. That's certainly, and I heard you talking on the podcast as well, like, oh, how can we push ourselves more? on a wedding to get that next shot, you know, to get it. And, you know, we think in the same way. That's, you know, probably not as, you know, for a wedding, I guess, you know, you have like a variety in location and the setup, like everything's different. Everyone's dressed differently than that. But, you know, in the end, rooms have four walls, especially the bedrooms, usually. So, you know, to some degree, there is a bit of a formula, of course. But then even with that, how can you change it up? How can we, you know, change, you know, something with the lighting, with the editing, and all of that, which we're trying to do again. Like, we just, you know, launch a different product, which we call the Platinum Style, which is, you know, just looks a little different. So they probably look a bit more like magazine style shots rather than typical real estate, if you will. So that's just like a different option for, you know, some houses that, you know, for example, just have a specific style maybe, or, you know, they just have something that stands out as well, and you just want to present it a little bit differently.
So when you come up with a product like that, how do you train the team on the Platinum Style? Like, do you come up with the style, say, on a few shoots? You're like, this suits this, you know, amazing house, you've done it, and then you show everyone through those photos and talk about how you did them, or do you take them on a job, or how does it work?
So first of all, there's a bit of a, if we got a new something happening, I'll do a bit of a trial first, so, you know, do it on a couple of houses and see, like, you know, still do the our, you know, normal great shots that look, you know, fantastic and that everyone likes, and then after a couple of shoots, I, you know, play around with the edit a little bit, and then, you know, do different shooting style, but like, hey, how about, you know, we did the photos here, like, what they look great, and it's, you know were fantastic, delivered a great result and helped with the campaign and everything, and then, oh, here's a new product, and what do you think of that, and, like, you know, offering that to you know, specific customer, to a specific house, or even to a vendor maybe who wants something just a bit different. You know, they might have put a lot of work into their, I don't know, into their landscaping or something like that, so they want to focus on that a little bit. So it's just a little bit different style, and also to differentiate the look once they go online, onto the websites and onto the socials.
Just to kind of stand out from the other houses that are being listed. Very cool. There's definitely more to, and I knew there'd be more to it. But it's so interesting finding out the nitty gritty of different styles of photography and different businesses, particularly. I had so many. I'm just trying to think of all the other things. I had so many things. I'm mindful of time. I know you've got a day coming up that you have to get started and do some work. Have you got shoots today?
Yes, I do.
Oh, cool. How many shoots would you have?
Videos.
A couple of videos.
So I'm on three shoots today. One video, two photo jobs. And the other guys are already out and running around and doing their jobs.
That's so great. And so you can jump on a podcast and your phone's not ringing off the hook with, you know, questions from the guys and things like that. Like, they've all got their jobs lined up.
I turn it on silent. It probably is. I put it on silent. Maybe it is. I find out in a few minutes.
Yeah, 6,000 missed calls.
No. Yeah.
No, they're
all pretty good, yeah, because we got it all, you know, set up pretty nicely. So, yeah, they know what to do. And yeah.
Actually, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, before we wrap up, you said you just went on a holiday with the family.
Yes.
Where did you go?
Western Australia, Margaret River.
Oh, cool.
It's beautiful.
So good. Yeah. Did you take a camera there?
No.
You don't take a camera usually when you go do it all on the phone? Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that purposeful or like to get away from work, or you just not something you think about on a family holiday, or phones are just so great that it's easier, or yeah?
So there's a couple of things. First of all, obviously camera quality is insane now on the latest phones. And for everything I do on holidays is create a memory. Like, it's not going in a magazine, it's not going online anywhere, it's just creating a memory. Mm-hmm. So for that, yeah, it's just great. And also, like, a lot of the times we feel like we do holidays and I would then have my camera backpack, okay, what lenses do I take, and then it's this and that, and I got everything, and like, okay, can we take a shot, okay, I gotta put the flash on, sorry, how did that look?
Yeah.
And you know, there's not a selfie option of either kind of are, but not as good. And so it's like, for the not that I take many selfies, obviously, because you know, I struggle to find a photo of myself with a camera. But just family shots, and it's just so nice and easy. You always have it on you, and then also like with the sharing, because I will be like, when I see a photo, then I'm like, oh yeah, just get into, you know, Capture One and just, you know, do a bit of an edit. And do a bit of that. And my wife's like, oh, how about that? Can you send it like to, you know, family and friends? I'm like, oh yeah, it's gonna do this and that. It's took forever, so nah, stuff it. You're just gonna take the phone and that's great. Yeah, and it works really well. So
find yourself staying in the moment rather more often and not worrying about things rather than thinking about taking a photo here and I know exactly.
That's the other thing. So probably the only thing I would take is a drone, because obviously you can't throw my phone in the air and get shot. Like, but that's the only thing I would take. I didn't take it now. I should have, but I didn't.
Yeah, the sea, like the beaches and stuff over there. It's like
unbelievable. Heaven. Yeah, it was just so good. So good. But yeah, in the end, look, it's exactly that. Like staying in the moment of that as well, and not mucking around with the camera gear. Like, oh, I wouldn't take this and that, and and also not interrupting. Then like, oh, can you, everyone, just, I know you're having a great time playing, but can you just all stop and look at me and do all of that? Just fire away with the phone and do it on the go. Yeah.
Love it. One last question before we wrap up. You just mentioned, I didn't even think to ask, but you just mentioned Capture One. So you edit in Capture One?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever used Lightroom?
I don't love it. I just can't. Even for weddings, I know many wedding photographers use it. Even for weddings, I just can't deal with it. I just find just don't like it. So everyone in when we shot in Germany and in Europe, like commercial and fashion, everyone's on Capture One.
Yeah.
Also because we shot with the big Phase One and medium format cameras and stuff. And the work, so a lot of tethering. That's probably where it came from. But even now I find, it's just still great. And I find it just gets more out of my files if I need to, like in a nicer way. Having said that, obviously I haven't used Lightroom now for a number of years, and I heard now they're really good with all the AI integrated again, especially for events. Is their masking a lot better?
I was about to ask, because the Lightroom masking is insane. I can't even it's crazy how good it's getting. Although Grant sent me a picture this morning, he was trying to mask the sky and it kept grabbing the wrong parts of the image, which I've never had happen. It must be some sort of weird bug or whatever. But does Capture One have the auto AI masking kind of stuff? Like you can just select sky or select subject?
I'm not sure if you can do like a sky select, but it definitely goes like with the tonalities or things. And I think it's pretty, it's pretty good, but I don't really use it that much, to be honest. Cause I always found a bit like fiddly, and then like, oh, it's quickly jump to Photoshop if I need to do it. So there's certainly things, you know, it's obviously Lightroom has its place and why so many people are using it. And I think now with AI, even with pupils and faces and whitening teeth with a click of a button and
crazy.
All of that.
It's just, You can select all the different people and then all their different eyes and teeth, and it just does it automatically.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I wasn't playing with it for a little while, and then I did an update, and I just had a little play with it, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow.
So maybe I need to jump back on. Yeah.
depends how much. If you're not doing a lot of people, it's probably not. And then also the other thing is too, I find you can get bogged down in playing with it when the photos, if you've taken a good photo, it's probably fine without that stuff, you know? You
don't that's the need thing, to isn't it? Like how far masks. Do you get? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Like even like the Hespin software, like even like skin softening, all that good stuff, like, you know, you don't want to put an iron on it. Like
no.
You just got to, you know, so really got to find that balance and keep it true, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
It's a big conversation there. But no, I love Capture One still. And it's a great piece of software.
I'll have to have a play with it one day, I think, and just see what it's all about. Because, I've been on Lightroom ever since I got off. Apple used to have Aperture, I think it was called. Their pro was like their pro version of Photos or iPhotos or whatever. And, I used to use that, and they basically deleted it. And then ever since then, I've been Lightroom. So,
It's certainly great software, but it's more about, I guess, what your workflow is, what's important to you. And, you know, a lot of wedding editors, I think they can then send the catalog to external editors and all of that sort of stuff. So all that works very, very differently. It's depending on the workflow and what you want to do. Whatful we do, it works great. Maybe I should look back into it.
Might be worth a try. Might be worth a try.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Well, thanks. Sweet. What a fun interview. You.
Yeah.
Likewise, that was amazing.
I was like, great questions, man. Like it's actually great to be interviewed and being asked from that perspective, because obviously we always or from my peers and everything, it's obviously within the group a lot, but it's great to be having a conversation with someone from outside the group and the questions that come up, and pretty good.
Very cool. We'll leave it there, everybody. We'll be live again on Thursday afternoon Melbourne time with Jim and Grant, probably. Maybe one day Lars will have time to jump on one of our weekly regular Q&A episodes in on the chat there. But otherwise, thanks.
That'd be great. Awesome. Thanks so much, mate. Pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah. Talk soon.
Talk soon. Thanks, mate. See ya.
Thanks.